Well, this morning we continue on with our series, Forward Progress. And I believe most of you have been here with me. If you're a guest this morning, God bless you. It is so great to have you here at Coweta Assembly. But Forward Progress is about accepting and allowing God to work in and through us, also knowing that He's walking along with us every single day, no matter what it is that we are facing, no matter whether we are up on the mountain or down in the valley, He is with us through all things in life. We know that from our salvation to the day that you and I enter into eternity, God has designed us as His masterpiece, as His most precious creation, to move forward every single day, to make progress in our lives. You know, one of our foundational scriptures is 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, where it tells us that we are being transformed. We are being transformed into the very image of Christ. Daily, that process is unfolding in our lives. In Ephesians, Paul says that we are growing in every way more and more like Jesus Christ. And as we do that as individuals, we are also doing that collectively as a body. And as we do that collectively as a body, not only do we move forward and achieve progress, but the church itself as a whole does as well. We get over into Philippians, and Paul says, you know, we strain forward, that we press on towards the goal that is before us. Colossians 3 says that we are being renewed as we learn to know our Creator and become more and more like Him. Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, that we are to crave pure spiritual milk, spiritual life, so we continue to grow up in our salvation. So we know as we consider this series what it's all about, it's about that spiritual growth. It's about spiritual growth in every area of our life, from our personal life, from our demeanor, our character, our attitude, our words, our daily behavior and actions, just the way that we decide to live each day, the choices we make, our relationship with our spouse, our children, our workers, our decisions, the way we handle our finances, the way that we handle success and victory, and also the way that we handle the turmoil that's in our lives. Forward progress is about that spiritual growth unfolding within us. Week number one, we talked about the influence and the value of that forward progress. Last week, we talked about aligning our steps with our faith. And today, I simply want to present to you the message, no one said it was going to be easy. When you go to move forward, no one ever said, I haven't found one scripture yet that says, and as you live for Jesus, it's going to be easy. As you try to move forward in life, it's going to be easy. As you try to achieve forward progress, it's going to be easy. You're not going to find that scripture within there because no one said it was. Frederick Douglass, he says this, if there is no struggle, there is no progress. If there is no struggle, there is no progress. Forward progress, church, is always going to be met with some type of opposition. Now, because of that truth, many of us will delay, we will make excuses, or we will simply deny it. Now, our adversary, Satan, would have us think that it is much more comfortable, less wearisome, and without much fight if we just, you know, try to delay it or make excuses or just kind of stay where we're at. Any movement of forward progress in our lives requires a decision to move with God regardless of what is standing before us or what is standing against us. You believe that? Man. Perhaps one of the greatest testimonies of forward progress we know is found in the book of Joshua. Now, we have referred to Israel's freedom from the Egyptian slavery early on in this series when God first gave the promise to Moses, talking about how He designed His people to move forward. Exodus chapter 6, verse 7 and 8, that promise was given to them, and He said that He would be with them as they took the promise that He was given them. Now, as we skip forward to Joshua taking command after the death of Moses, we see that Israel is poised to achieve significant forward progress in receiving that promise. The book of Joshua opens with Israel being ready to cross over the Jordan River, taking their first steps into the promised land, and preparing for their first major battle in taking Jericho. Now, let's stop for a moment. Many of you are students of the Word. You've been here before. You've probably been there multiple times, and you've learned something each time. But what do we know about Jericho? Well, I think if I was to give you the moment, you'd probably give me answers like this. Well, we know that it had enormous fortified walls. It had a massive infrastructure within it. It was very well defended. You will see in scripture here that they were men of valor. They were warriors. They were a trained army. And there were giants among them. And so what we know about Jericho, and it's been, to many of us, it's been poured into us all of our lives, this was a well fortified opposition that stood between Israel and their promise. You see, Jericho is portrayed as a huge and seemingly impossible fortress to overtake and move through, but we know that Israel took it anyway. Let's go back and remind ourselves of this story. It's an epic story, Joshua chapter 6. Let's read here a few verses. It says, Jericho shut up inside and outside because of the people of Israel. None went out and none came in. And then the Lord says to Joshua, see that I have given Jericho into your hand, with it its king and mighty men of valor. That's a very powerful verse. And you'll see in a little bit why that is so powerful. Verse 3. You shall march around the city, all the men of war going around the city once. Thus shall you do for 6 days. 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. On the 7th day, you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests will blow their trumpets. And when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, then all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people will go up, everyone straight before him. So Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord. And he said to the people, go forward, march around the city, and let the armed men pass on before the Ark of the Lord. And just as Joshua had commanded the people, the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord, they went forward blowing the trumpets with the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord following them. The armed men were walking before the priests who were blowing the trumpets, and the rear guard was walking after the Ark while the trumpets blew continually. But Joshua commanded the people, you shall not shout or make your voice heard, neither shall any word go out of your mouth until the day I tell you to shout. Then you shall shout. So he caused the Ark of the Lord to circle the city, going about it once. And they came into the camp, and they spent the night in the camp. Let's read a few more verses here. Verse 12. Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the Ark of the Lord, and the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of the ram's horn before the Ark of the Lord. They walked on. They blew their trumpets continually. And the armed men, they were walking before them. The rear guard was walking after the Ark of the Lord while the trumpets were blowing. And the 2nd day, they marched around the city once, and then they returned to the camp. And so they did this for 6 days. Verse 15. On the 7th day, they rose early at the dawn of day, and they marched around the city in the same manner 7 times. It was only on that day that they marched around the city 7 times. And at the 7th time, when the priests had blown the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. And the city and all that is within it shall be devoted to the Lord for destruction. Only Rahab, the prostitute, and all who are with her in her house shall live, because she hid the messengers whom we sent. But you keep yourselves from the things devoted to destruction, lest when you have devoted them, you take any of the devoted things and make the camp of Israel a thing for destruction and bring trouble upon it. But all the silver, the gold, the vessel, the bronze, the iron are holy to the Lord. They will go into the treasury of the Lord. Verse 20, so the people shouted. The people shouted and the trumpets were blown. As soon as the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted a great shout. The wall fell down flat, so that the people, they went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they captured the city. It's a powerful story, once again, that many of us have known for a very long time. When you take a close look at the forward progress achieved this day, I want you to consider something with me this morning. Have you ever considered that as enormous and an insurmountable obstacle as Jericho was? Have you ever considered, when you've read this story, Jericho was not the primary obstacle in the way of Israel on this day? Because I know a lot of times when we look at this passage, we look at the city, the fortified walls, we look at the men of valor, we look at the infrastructure, we see, you know, how this city was incredibly, incredibly a powerful city, as this was to be the first battle that Israel would have. And so we put a lot of attention on it. We put a lot of attention on the big walls and all of that was before them. But have you ever considered it wasn't the primary obstacle? The question would be then, well, what then, Pastor? Well, who else? Was there some unseen army waiting to surprise them that we don't read about here in Scripture? Well, not that I'm aware of. I don't believe so. What or who was the number one obstacle? Have you ever considered, and even though it may not look like it here, it was the people of Israel themselves. Think with me. God gave Joshua and the people of Israel a very unconventional plan in overtaking Jericho. That's why I wanted to read that passage together. Walk around it for 6 days, blow those trumpets continually, go around it once, come back to the camp. On the seventh day, we'll do it 7 times, and then I'll release you guys to shout. That was a very unconventional plan in overtaking Jericho. Now, we know God has moved in extraordinary ways up until this point, but this generation, think with me, this isn't the generation that walked out of Egypt. This isn't the generation that saw the plagues. This isn't the generation that walked across the Red Sea. Yes, Joshua and a few elders were there, but the parents, many of them have perished in the wilderness in that 40 years of travel. So think with me, God, yes, has moved in extraordinary ways. This generation under Joshua's leadership hadn't seen anything like what was about to happen. Yes, they had probably seen the power of God in different ways, but what was about to unfold and the instructions that was given to them, this was a mighty step of faith on their part for this generation to follow this great leader, Joshua, and they'll say, we're going to do what God has told us to do. They knew about the stories, and they certainly experienced God's provisions leading up to this point, but this was something completely new for them. How was it? I asked myself the question. How was it that there seems to be no pushback? We don't read any here in Scripture. No skeptics are mentioned. No alternative plan is presented to Joshua. None of the younger ones came up and said, you know what, maybe just in case this trumpet 7 times walking, shouting thing, just in case that doesn't really strike fear in the men of valor on the other side of that wall, maybe we should have some people back here, you know, let's dig some trenches around here that maybe we can come out of, and maybe we can take a couple of different approaches to this. We don't read any of alternative plans that are presented. How is it that unwavering faith demonstrated by uncompromising obedience was the culture of the people at this time? How was it that the culture in Israel, in these people who had been in the wilderness and now entering into a land they had never been to, but God had promised to them, how was it that God's people demonstrated such an unwavering faith and an uncompromising obedience in following the Lord? Well, I believe it's because they believed Joshua, because Joshua believed God. They believed what God was doing amongst their leaders, and they believed what God was doing amongst them as a nation. We got to go back to the opening chapter. Go back there with me just for about 8 verses here, 8 or 9 verses. Joshua chapter 1. This is so crucial to this portion of the story. Before this took place, we see that the scripture writes, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving them to the people of Israel. And the Lord speaks to Joshua, and he says, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea, towards the going down of the sun, it's all going to be yours. It's all your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. And just as I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Verse 6, be strong, be courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit a land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all that the law of Moses, my servant, has commanded you. Do not turn from the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night. You shall be careful to do according to what has been written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, Joshua? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Before Joshua ever gave those instructions about taking Jericho, the Lord poured into him significantly. And as you continue to read this book for yourself, an epic book, you will see that as the Lord poured into Joshua, Joshua then poured into the people, and together they believed what God's word was saying. They believed the spoken word of God that was being placed upon their lives. And because they believed God in what he was saying, they were able to have great success, and they prospered as they overtook the land that God was giving them. Now, as I look at this morning, just for a few moments, I want you to consider with me some key truths that were spoken into Joshua and to the people. And the first thing is, when you look here, is the Lord is telling them. He's telling Joshua and the people. Because the question is how do we get this same culture, right? I think you're with me there this morning. How do we get this same culture in our church today where we have an uncompromising obedience and an unwavering faith? How can we get to a culture in the church world today where God's word is spoke into us, over us, whether it's through his spoken word, whether it's through a message, whether it's through a small group, whether it's through prayer time, whether it's through the power and the leading of the Holy Spirit, whether it's through a dream or a vision, however it is, the spoken word of God is coming upon your life. How is it that we can rise up and have a culture such as these people here where nothing around them was going to cause them to sway in their opinion of who God was and what God was going to accomplish? How can we have the same culture in Kawita Assembly of God when the Lord speaks to us and when the Lord moves upon us and when the Lord says, hey, this is the direction you need to go? How can we have the same culture where we have that uncompromising faith and we say, okay, let's go, God, let's do this? How can we have that same culture in our homes with our spouse and our children and our grandchildren? How can we have that same culture around us and we be an influence in that? Well, let's look at the things that were spoken over the people in which they believe. The first thing is this, is God said to them, prepare to move. Prepare to move. Moses has passed, his journey's complete. Now he's saying to the people, it's your turn. You're going to get ready and you're going to cross the Jordan River. It's time to take the first steps in the promise that I'm giving you. And in order to take those steps, you better prepare yourself to move. Now, perhaps it would have been easy for some of the people to complain or just simply be complacent. They could have just said, you know what, it's okay. It's okay, Joshua. We're fine right where we're at. We have survived here for 40 years, so what difference does it make if we just settle here? We don't have much time left in our lives anyway, so why don't we just stop and settle right here? Why? Because it wasn't God's plan for them. They could have rebelled just as their parents did, but they didn't. To stay where they were meant living completely outside of God's plan and purpose. And in doing so, they would have missed the blessings of the promise. Sure, they could have stayed right there. That would have not have been God's plan or will, but they would have not have benefited in the prosperity in which God was talking about in their lives. How many of us, church, don't move forward because we're just comfortable or complacent where we're at, and we're missing the blessings of God because we're afraid to take that step forward? How many of us in our personal lives, in our personal walk, in using our gifts, in using our talents, in using our service before the Lord, in our homes, and seeing our culture change in our home, how many of us just stay where we're at, we see the same old thing, have the same old atmosphere, because we don't hear the voice of God, or if we do hear it, we deny what it is that he wants us to do, or we stay comfortable and complacent, or we're afraid to do so. Staying may have seemed the easier thing to do, and many times in our lives, just sitting still seems to be the easier thing to do. But in the long run, it wasn't. I ask a question here. Have you ever camped out in an area of your life that at one point felt really good and everything was okay, but then it became comfy and cozy, and then you really didn't have any clear purpose, direction, and drive anymore, and you wasn't sure what you were going to do next? Spiritually, how long have you been in the same place? Spiritually, how long have you been in the same place, having the same results? You see, I believe as we go over into the New Testament and the scriptures I gave you here earlier, God has not designed us to stay where we're at spiritually. I would ask the question, what area of ministry is God calling you to get involved with? What gifts is God telling you to start using? What forward progress is he asking the church today, Kawito Assembly, specifically you that are before me, what is he speaking into your life today and saying, hey, it's time to have some forward progress in your life? The Lord is saying, prepare to move. Prepare to move. God wants to move among you, through you, and with you. The next truth that we see spoken into them, verse 3 and 4, powerful, is every place you step, it is yours. Yes, every place your feet lands, it's yours. I look at that and I say, what a promise. Why would you want to step in any other direction besides the direction God is leading you through the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life? I go to Psalms chapter 1, verse 1. It says, blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, or stands in the way of sinners, nor seats in the seat of scoffers, but his delight in the law of the Lord, and on it he meditates day and night. He is the one like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaves does not wither. And all that he does, he prospers. Why? Because he's stepping with the Lord, and he understands that every step he takes, God has given him. Proverbs 16:1-3, the plans of the heart belong to the man, But the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of man pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. Commit everything that you do, all your work to the Lord, and you know what's going to happen? Your work, your plans, your purpose, what God has promised you, it will prosper. It will be established. You see, church, God's walking with you. He's walking with you, and if you ever choose to veer off that path, he's not going to stop loving you, but he will allow you to move forward and reap the consequences of your choices. If where you are stepping in life exceeds the boundaries or veers off his path for you, you're no longer pursuing God's plan or purpose, but you're just simply pursuing self. But if you'll walk with God, if you'll walk with God every step, if you'll learn each day to wake up and walk with God in every step. Pastor, what does that mean? It means just devoting yourself to him in your prayer, in your praise, in your worship, learning the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you, following that leading, following that prompting. Yes, you may not always know exactly, but that's when you step out on faith. And when your heart is in the right place and your motives are in the right place. And yeah, sure, we may get it wrong at times. God's with us and he's going to help us learn through that. But if you just strive daily to say, God, I want to walk with you, I promise you that every step you take, God is with you. And he's going to bless you in that. The next truth that we see spoken over them, we see it in verses 5 and 6. It says, now the Lord's speaking to Joshua. Joshua's speaking this into Israel. No one will be able to stand against you and have success in that. Doesn't mean they won't be able to stand against you at all. I said this Wednesday night in our opening. There'll always be something or somebody trying to stand in front of us. But with God, they're not going to be successful in that. The promise given to Joshua, I will never leave you or forsake you. It's a promise that you and I can also embrace. And speaking about walking with God and offering your way of life as a sacrifice to him, the author of Hebrews, he extends this very promise to all believers. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 4. Now, I'm giving you a little bit of this. I'm backing up a little bit because it's just talking about life. But notice what the author writes. Let marriage be held in honor among all. Let the marriage be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and the adulterous. Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. I put those other verses in there because he's talking about life. He's talking about marriage. He's talking about money. He's just talking about daily living. But he is saying, if you will go with the Lord will never leave you or forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear. What can man do to me? What can life do to me? What can circumstances do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God, and consider their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. The author of Hebrews puts those promises in there for every believer. If we're walking with God, yes, opposition may rise up before us, but it's not going to be successful in taking us down. You see, I believe victory is certain when you move forward with God in every area of your life. I've experienced that personally. I've experienced that in my relationship with my wife. I've experienced that with my children and my career and with people here in the church. You know the scriptures well. You know these scriptures well. Romans 8, 37, in all things we are more than conquerors in him who loved us. You go on down and if you read it in the message, let me just read. I put down here 7 verses here from Romans and I'm gonna read from the message. It says, so what do you think? With God on our side like this, how can we lose? You jump down to verse 33. And who would dare tangle with God by messing with one of God's chosen? Who would dare even point a finger? The one who died for us, who raised us to life for us, is in the presence of God at this very moment, and he is sticking up for us. Do you think anyone is going to be able to drive a wedge between us and Christ's love for us? There is no way, no trouble, no times, no hatred, no hunger, no homelessness, no bullying threats, no backstabbing, not even the worst sins that we can list in Scripture. In Christ, we are more than conquerors. Amen? Victory is certain when you're moving forward with God. Yes, the enemy of our souls is going to stand against us. Try to, probably, it seems like, in some seasons, every day. He's going to try to intimidate. He's going to try to discourage. He's going to mock our faith. He's going to proclaim lies about our future. The enemy will always try to place some type of adversary or opposition before us. But with God on our side, church, I believe this. And if you're going to move forward, you have to believe this. With God on your side, the enemy is going to fail as you move forward, making progress in the victory of Jesus Christ. Again, with God on your side, why wouldn't you want to move forward? Let me give you a couple more. Another truth that I see spoken here. And you know this one well, and we read it on through verses 15 through 26. As the Lord says to him, Joshua, be strong and courageous. Encouragement. There's such repetition in this when he says this. What do we see in that? Encouragement. You can do it. Warning. Yes, you will have to face a very strong and intimidating enemy. But the reality is, my presence is always with you. But you still have to stand up on your own feet, and you have to advance towards the promise that I'm giving you. And then he just continues to encourage him, and he continues to speak into him. And he's telling him, Joshua, people of Israel, I am with you. How can you be so strong and courageous in the face of an enormous and insurmountable enemy? How can you do that? Because God is with you. How can you rise up each day in September the 23rd, 2018, how can you rise up each day with a strong faith and a courage and a confidence and a boldness to know that it's all going to be okay in your life, in your family, in your circumstance? How can you do that? Because God will never leave you. God will never forsake you. In church, God is with you through everything that you face on this earth. He's with you. When you're hurt, he knows it. When you're down and out, he knows it. When you're discouraged, he knows it. When you're offended, he knows it. When you're weeping inside because of tragedy or loss, God knows it. When there's something unforeseen circumstances getting ready to overtake you, God knows that, and God is always with you. Yes, we will cry. Yes, we will be mad. Yes, we will be angry. Yes, we'll be frustrated. Yes, at times we'll be lonely. We'll be discouraged. We'll be depressed. Sometimes we'll feel like the enemy just keeps kicking us in the side. We will feel that way at times in our life. But just know through his promise, just like he spoke to Joshua, everything God has spoken in you in the victory of Jesus Christ, you can count on that, and you can have courage and you can have confidence. Why? Because not a moment passes that God is not with you. While you're sleeping, God is with you. When you rise, God is with you. When you speak, God is with you. He's here with us this morning, and he's speaking into your life. So how is it that you can proclaim scripture? How is it that you can speak out in faith? How is it that you can walk in your gifts? How is it that you can keep a smile on your face even in all the chaos around us? How is it that you can walk in peace? How is it that you can have joy? How is it that you can just live your life in a way that seems to rise above all the junk in this old world? How can you do that with such a confidence and a courage? Not an arrogance, but a confidence and a courage. How can you do that? Because God is with you. God is with you. How can the dying man have such courage? Because God is with him, right? How can the widow have such courage and confidence? Because God is with them. How can the teenager who faces an uncertain world and all the things around them and their faith being attacked all the time, how can they have such confidence and courage? Because God is with them. And I say it often, greater is he that is in us than he is in this world. He is with us always. So I'd say to you this morning, no matter what season you're in or what it is you're facing, keep being strong and courageous because God is with you. Number five, the last truth I will give unto you that I see here, verses 27 through 30. The Lord speaks to Joshua, and Joshua speaks to the people, be careful to obey the word of God. Now they're going off of the law, the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch. And this is the word that was given to Moses to the people. For us today, it means to follow the spoken word of the Lord, whether it's through his word or through the things that he lays upon us through the Holy Spirit. Be careful to obey God's instruction. Joshua's guide as they moved forward was the very word of God. Psalm says in 119, and of course that's a powerful chapter, the longest chapter in the Bible. But in 1 through 8, it says, you're blessed when you stay on course, walking steadily on the road revealed by God. You're blessed when you follow his directions, doing your best to find him. That's right. You don't go off on your own. You walk straight along the road he sets you. God prescribed the right way to live. Now you expect us to live in it. Oh, that my steps might be steady, keeping to the course you set, that I never have any regrets in comparing my life with your counsel. I thank you for speaking straight from your heart. I learned the pattern of your righteous ways. I'm going to do what you tell me, what you speak to me, what you instruct me in, and I don't ever want to walk off, and I know that you won't walk off and you won't leave me. When we're walking in God's word in our lives, when we're careful to obey that, we're going to see the blessings unfold. You see, Joshua and Israel believed the instruction and the promise that was spoken to them. and they move forward with unwavering faith and uncompromising obedience. Now this morning, as we get ready to pray, the only thing that would have stopped Israel, I believe, from forward progress in overtaking Jericho this day was themselves. How are we tying this all together? You see, Jericho was already defeated when God decided to give it to Israel. Jericho was already defeated back in Exodus when the promise was given to Moses. How was that? Because God had already decided, this land will be my people. And every city that they have to face, and yes, there were some life lessons along the way as some of the individuals did take some of the things that were supposed to be consecrated to the Lord, and they were defeated, then they had to come back and do that battle all over, had to reboot themselves. We see that as we go in scriptures. There was a lot of lessons to learn, but I want you to know that when the promise was given and when it was spoken over them, Jericho was already defeated. The walls were going to collapse. A clear path was going to be given. The heart of the enemy would melt. God had already given Israel everything that they needed to move forward in victory. He gave them a promise. He gave them a leader. He gave them a plan, and he gave them victory. You see, he prepared them. He equipped them. He empowered Israel to move forward in taking the promise step by step, battle by battle. He was with them every single moment of the way. The greatest obstacle that they had, I believe, to overcome was to have the faith inside to take those first steps. You see, when you go back to Joshua chapter 6 and that verse 2 that I said that was so powerful, what did it say? It's kind of like it's that moment when God speaks in you and he gives you that promise. When he speaks it, he's already got it planned. And he told Joshua, as Joshua was to tell the people, Jericho's yours. So I think back on that day, and if my leader would have came and he would have said, we're going to march once time around, trumpets blowing, come back, we're going to camp, we're going to do it for 6 days, and on the seventh day, we'll do it 7 times. I'm going to release you guys to shout. When we shout, walls are going to come straight down. You're just going to walk right on in. If I was to give you some type of instruction like that this morning about how we're going to take Coweta, church, I feel like the Lord has spoke to me and said, we're going to walk around Coweta for 6 days, one time, and on the seventh day, since it's so large, we're only going to walk around it twice. But we're going to walk around it, and we're going to play our instruments. Now you're thinking, Pastor, it's a different day, it's a different time. You're right, it is. We've gotten way more skeptical as the years have passed and the generations have passed. Sometimes the Lord gives us unconventional ideas and thoughts. Sometimes the Lord speaks to us, and we're saying to ourselves, really? And you've heard this said many times. If it doesn't really scare you, if it doesn't really cause you to step out on faith, it's probably not the Lord speaking to you anyway. It's probably your own ideas that's coming up. What I want you to see here is that, yes, Jericho was an obstacle. Don't get me wrong. It was powerful. It was huge. It was enormous. There were men of valor there. There was still a battle before the people. But all of that was going to be given to them. The first major step through that first obstacle, I believe, was having the faith to believe, God has spoken and I can do this. I can do this. And it helped because they didn't have to do it alone. They had each other. And with each other, they had their leader. And with each other and with their leader, they realized, you know what? We're not doing this alone. God is with us. They believed what God said and they moved in it. So I would say to you today, do you believe what God is saying to you? Do you believe what God is speaking into you? Do you believe that what God's word speaks over your life, in your life, that if you would just have the faith to take it and move forward with it, that you would see some incredible things unfold? For the person here that maybe you're kind of down and out in life, that's not where God wants you to stay. God wants you to move forward, and he wants you to have a mind of peace and a mind of joy. Don't you know that his word, when it talks about peace and joy and life and how he gives you victory and how that you've overcome the world, don't you believe what the scripture says? But Pastor, I've been through so much. The Lord knows, but he will see you through it.